I'd like to welcome everybody this morning to the regularly scheduled Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting of November 10th, 2015. I'd like to remind those in attendance that the meeting is open to the public and is being videotaped and broadcast online. Christy, will you please call the roll?
Director Brooks? Director Dasman?
Present.
Director Gomez?
Here.
Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Director Sauer? Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Let's move to the public comment portion of our agenda. During this period, members of the public are invited to address the committee. We do ask that speakers please limit their remarks under 3 minutes. Do we have anybody this morning that would like to make a comment?
Chair, I do not believe we have any public comment this morning.
Okay, then we'll go forward. Can we get the approval of the minutes of the regular of the Finance Administration Operation Committee of October 15th, please?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any questions? Anyone opposed?
All in favor say
aye. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
We're good. Turn it over to me.
Okay, Greg.
Yes, I have several items this morning for the board and the committee's attention. I'd like to start with a quick administrative matter. I'd like to take a moment to welcome the Tollway's new Inspector General, T.J., forgive me for butchering your last name, T.J. Hengensbach, who was appointed by Governor Rauner. T.J. previously worked as the Deputy Inspector General in Chicago's Office of the Inspector General, and before that served as the General Counsel for Illinois' Office of Executive Inspector General. We look forward to working with TJ as he steps into this important post. TJ's first day was yesterday, and he is seated directly behind us. TJ, welcome to the Tollway.
Thank you.
Additionally, I would like to introduce next our quarterly financial review for the third quarter ending September 30th, 2015. Our Chief of Finance, Mike Kelch, is here to go over the third quarter financial review. He has good news for us regarding this year's revenue and spending plans. In short, and I know I don't want to steal Mike's closing thunder, but revenues are higher than anticipated, and our operating and maintenance expenses are less than budgeted. Mike will fill us in on the details. Michael.
Very good. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. The third quarter results continue a trend that we had seen earlier in the year during the first two quarters. As a reminder, we had budgeted at the start of the year $1,170,000,000 in revenue. We'd allocated that $311 million to operations, $362 million to debt service, and then $497 million was available for our capital program. If you recall, last month we actually had a revision from CDM Smith that increased our revenue projection for 2015 by about $48 million. And you can see from the third quarter results, the results support that estimate change. Total revenue and evasion recovery was up about $13.7 million from the original budget during the third quarter. That's largely due to, almost entirely due to traffic growth that was greater than what we had anticipated. Commercial vehicle traffic grew 1.9% year over year compared to the third quarter of the prior year. And passenger vehicle traffic, grew 5.9%. Both of those were higher than what CDM Smith had projected to start the year. With respect to the operating expenses were within budget, actually below by about $4 million, 4.4 during the third quarter. Basically four areas where that variance occurred. Payroll and related costs, we do have a larger number of vacant positions than what we had expected at the start of the year, so there's some savings, so to speak, in payroll. Contractual services, $1.3 million. Much of this is really a timing issue. There were some contractual efforts, particularly some support in the IT area where we didn't expend as much as we had anticipated spending. All other insurance, this is really a workers' comp insurance issue. Our actuary had done a review of our reserves and determined that we had claims that were warranted a lower amount of reserves than we had anticipated for the year, so we were able to reduce our contribution to the Workers' Compensation Reserve Claim Fund. And then finally, parts and fuel costs have been less than we anticipated at the start of the year. So those were the four areas where we saw savings during the third quarter. With respect to the capital program, in the capital program in the third quarter, the expenditures were about $115 million less than we had budgeted, but still a very large quarter for capital spending, $450 million. There's two areas where we spent less than what we had budgeted for at the start of the year. The Reagan Memorial, this is largely due to a scheduling issue where we had expected to do some work on the far west end of 88 that's now been rescheduled for 2016, so that's a timing issue. The same with the Jane Addams with respect to timing or scheduling. There's been some conflicts with utilities that have been now resolved, I believe, that resulted in some delays in schedule in that work. So this change is really, I believe, a shift from 2015 into 2016 in terms of when the costs will be incurred. Actually, some of the Jane Addams may occur later this year. We did make an adjustment to the 2015 capital expenditure estimate in the 2016 budget. We did adjust it down by about $120 million. So this variance is reflected in that new budget document. So in summary, year to date, no surprise, revenue is about 3.8% more than we budgeted to start the year. Maintenance and operations expenditures are below budget to date, which is a good thing because our most volatile quarter is always the fourth quarter with respect to winter, potential harsh winter, which results in higher costs. So we're in a good position going into the fourth quarter. Debt service transfers were really right on budget. And as we mentioned, capital program expenditures have been less than projection due to those schedule changes. So that's it in a quick summary. Any questions, comments?
Mike, I apologize. I have the same question, too. I know I ask the same question all the time. I forget. So when you have the 13 million revenue over budget, typically, does that just go back to the general fund, the capital program? Is it a priority to pay off debt service? What do we do with that?
It's rolled. It's kept in the revenue fund, in that general revenue fund, until it's allocated at a future date.
Okay. So it goes right back to the general fund. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Mike. Our second presentation is with regards to our disparity study. If you recall, the board previously saw some information regarding our disparity study, and our Chief of Diversity and Strategic Development, Gustavo Giraldo, is here to discuss the final stages of this study. This study is part of the Tollway's continuing efforts to ensure that diverse businesses have an opportunity to compete for construction and construction-related services contracts that the Tollway awards as part of our Move Illinois program. The Tollway remains committed to diversity, and we have made strong progress in awarding more construction and construction-related services contracts to diverse contractors, although we know there is more work that remains to be done. Gustavo will now provide you more information regarding the next steps of the study. Gustavo.
Thank you, Greg, and good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the FAO committee. So the Tollway's Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program was established in 2005 to ensure that qualified disadvantaged minority and women-owned businesses enterprises of every size and type have the ability to participate fully as a prime or subcontractor on Tollway construction and professional service contracts. The aim of the tollways program is to ensure that the tollway is not a passive participant in a discriminatory marketplace, create a level playing field on which DBEs can compete fairly for its contracts, narrowly tailor the tollways DBE program in accordance with applicable law, ensure that only firms meeting the eligibility standards are permitted to participate as DBEs, and help remove barriers to participation and its contractual agreements and associated subcontracts. Yeah, I'll pass it on next. Thank you. In order to determine the ongoing necessity for its DBE program, the courts have made it clear that any race and gender-based program must be effective, enforceable, and legally defensible. Therefore, any program administered by the tollway must meet the judicial test of constitutional strict scrutiny to determine the legality of such programmatic initiatives. Strict scrutiny requires current strong evidence of the persistence of discrimination and narrowly tailored measures to remedy such discrimination. Today's presentation will provide a summary of the study conducted by Colette Holt and Associates, a study that looked at possible disparities on the basis of race or gender and tollway prime and subcontracting opportunities awarded to over the last few years, and which remedies that withstand legal scrutiny would be most appropriate to remove barriers created by race or gender discrimination. Ms. Holt is well respected for her work in measuring the potential impact of discrimination based on race or gender. In fact, her methodology is now the recommended standard for designing legally defensible disparity and availability studies for state transportation agencies nationwide. The study looked at a number of critical issues, including the legal standards governing contracting affirmative action programs, the geographical markets encompassing tollway contracts, the utilization of DBEs as prime and subcontractors on tollway contracts compared to white male-owned firms, disparities between the availability of DBEs and their utilization on tollway contracts, the experience of DBEs throughout Illinois and other regions of the country, the experience of DBEs seeking tollway work, including barriers they may have encountered based on race or gender, and the effectiveness of tollway sponsored race and gender neutral measures. To address these questions, the study relied on data and extensive interviews with business owners, community leaders, and tollway staff to determine whether disparities still exist in contracting opportunities and earnings for DBEs, both on tollway contracts and throughout the wider Illinois economy. The study also gathered anecdotal data on the DBE's marketplace experiences and evaluated the tollways DBE program to determine its effectiveness and conformance to constitutional and national standards. Overall, the study found that while progress has been made, disparities still exist between the utilization of DBEs and their availability in the tollways market area. That said, and on a more encouraging note, the study also found that DBEs continue to reap benefits from the tollways networking, contracting, and training opportunities. Initiatives such as unbundling contracts into smaller packages, small business set-aside contracts, and the Mentor Protege program were viewed as essential to reducing barriers to equal contracting, earning, and entrepreneurial opportunities. These findings provide a strong basis for continuing DBE programs with narrowly tailored race and gender conscious remedies to mitigate effects of discrimination and ensure equal access to tollway, prime, and subcontracting opportunities. So the study makes a number of recommendations that will be considered for the tollways DBE program going forward. Some worth mentioning are: consider conducting seminars on DBE bid and contract compliance for prime contractors to discuss policies and procedures and address questions and concerns. Consider expanding current efforts to unbundle contracts by offering some design projects as potential candidates. consider expanding the Small Business Initiative to include non-construction contracts to the extent permitted by law and contracts with small business goals only. Consider relaxing experience requirements beyond basic pre-qualification standards to ensure DBEs and small firms are not unfairly disadvantaged. Use the study results and availability to set DBE contract goals. Consider using federally approved program models to expand the Tollways Mentor Project Program to construction contractors. A program of this type should encourage long-term commitments between firms beyond one single contract and offer extra credit for meeting contract goals. Consider measures that incentivize primes to use new DBEs, such as providing extra credit for employing DBE subs that have never worked on tollway projects. Consider implementing an electronic contracting data collection, monitoring, and notification system so the tollway has complete data sets to analyze and share information on contracts and contractors. And evaluate overall program resources periodically to ensure that the tollway has the necessary tools to effectively implement current and future programs. The study also recommended conducting a thorough review of the DBE program every 5 to 7 years in order to determine whether the need still exists for the program. The public is invited to read the entire study containing the findings and complete list of recommendations, which can be found on the Tollways website under the Diversity Programs tab. The study will be presented to the board for consideration early in 2016. Upon adoption of the study, we will gather input from senior internal staff, the Diversity Advisory Council, and the Diversity and Inclusion Committee as part of the process to sunset the existing program and create a new DBE program. The new DBE program will include successful elements of the current DBE program, as well as new programs and initiatives recommended by the committees or adopted from the disparity study and approved by the board. Later this month, Colette Hall will host 2 public meetings and take questions on the study or any of its findings. The public meeting dates are November 18th at 2 p.m. at the DePaul Center in Chicago and November 19th at 2 p.m. at the Naperville Marriott. With this, I conclude my presentation, and thank you, and happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Gustavo,
I want to thank you for your efforts. I've run into Gustavo over a half a dozen community organizations, not-for-profits, and events, pushing the program and letting people know. And this is all after our stuff, so thank you, Gustavo, for your good work on that.
Permission.
I was just going to echo those sentiments that Gustavo and his team have done yeoman's work in this area. I guess my question is more for you, the chair, in terms of, I guess, when we talk about next steps, I saw some of the recommendations. I guess would a logical next step be, as part of next steps, that the diversity committee would then look at some of those recommendations to provide some high-level guidance and direction and let his team kind of provide some strategic focus to whatever those may be. Is that, am I to assume?
I think that you're right on target.
Exactly correct. Okay. We will, senior staff, along with diversity, and will vet the litany of recommendations, bring those recommendations to the entire group, then run them through the Diversity Advisory Council, mm-hmm. as well as the Diversity Inclusion Committee, for a final list of recommendations to bring to the Board of Directors for approval.
Thank you. Any other questions?
That concludes my report.
Thank you so much,
Chairman.
Okay, we move to finance. We have 3 items for consideration today. Mr. Kelch, would you like to present these items to the committee?
Sure, thank you. Finance has 3 items for the committee this morning. First item is award of a contract to Beasley Insurance Company for cyber liability insurance for a 1-year period. In 2014, the tollway entered into a contract with Mesero Insurance Services as a result of an RFP to provide brokerage services to seek and secure cyber liability insurance. The purpose of cyber liability insurance is to help absorb the costs associated with a computer security breach of the tollway data, including customer notification, public relations, legal, and liability costs.
and to provide access to professional assistance if a breach or a crisis occurs, and to provide outside evaluation of safeguards that the COA can utilize in protecting sensitive customer data. Mesereau sought quotes last year. Beasley Insurance Company was awarded the first policy year. They then, at the end of the policy year, sought quotes for a second policy year. They sought quotes from three firms. Beasley did provide the best proposal and were recommended to be renewed at a cost of $130,111 plus 3.7% for taxes and fees, so just under $135,000 in total. It provides an aggregate limit of coverage of $10 million, providing business interruption insurance, provides legal service costs, customer notification costs if there's a breach, and coverage against any cyber extortion activity. It's our recommendation that Beasley Insurance be approved to be renewed to provide cyber liability insurance to the tollway.
We're happy to answer any questions.
Did you cover three or did I fall asleep here?
That was only number one so far. A lot of talking.
All right, any questions? There are no questions?
Let me do number two.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Number two is renewal of a contract for employee health benefits program with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois for the 2016-2017 plan year. The health benefit program for the tollway through Blue Cross, which is an administration of the PPO program as well as HMO programs, was secured initially in 2009. It provided for an initial policy year plus 9 annual renewals. This would be the sixth renewal of that health insurance program. The coverage is provided, or the construction of the program remains the same as it was in the current year. The changes would be that the premium for the HMO programs increases about 4.8% from the last policy year, and the administrative fees in total increase approximately 2.5% from the prior year. Otherwise, the coverages remain unchanged. It's always been quite pleased with the administration of the program, and we recommend renewing with Blue Cross Blue Shield for its employee health care program for the coming year, which would require an open enrollment beginning in January. The year becomes effective March 1st. So finance recommends renewal with Blue Cross Blue Shield for the employee health care program.
Any questions? Comments? There are none. Proceed to number three, please.
The third item is an authorization to redeem or pay off $69 million of variable rate bonds, 1998B variable rate bonds, early. These bonds, the $69 million, is scheduled to be repaid at the end of 2016. By paying these variable rate bonds off early, we can terminate the swap agreements that we have at a cost, and we can eliminate the need for banking liquidity fees, as well as remarketing fees. And the net effect of that, or the net impact of that, is we expect we could save in the neighborhood of $300,000 to $500,000 during the course of 2016 if we were able to redeem these bonds and terminate the swap at the beginning of the year, as opposed to wait until the end of the year when they would become due. This is simply an authorization to proceed if we think the market conditions warrant and the savings warrant going ahead with the early payoff or early redemption of the bond. So finance recommends approval of this authorization.
Any questions?
I have one question, Mike.
Sure.
This, how does this affect our bond rating? Does this affect it positively, I would hope?
I think it would be a slight positive because we're going to be reducing the amount of swaps that we have and the amount of variable rate that's outstanding, the amount of exposure that we have to bank agreements. It's unlikely to change our underlying rating, but I think it's a positive.
Are there any other questions? If there are no objections, I would like to take the finance item as a group. May I have a motion to consolidate finance item 1 through 3 for consideration and action?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
We need you to say aye as well. Sorry.
Oh, aye.
Thank you.
The motion to consolidate these items having been carried, may I now have a motion to approve placement of finance items 1 through 3 on the full board agenda with the committee's recommendation. Is there a second?
Maybe motion first, sorry.
My motion. We have a motion.
Oh, sorry.
So moved.
Sir.
Are there any questions, any concerns or requests for discussion? Hearing none, having no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Any abstentions or recusals? The motion passes. Item 1 through 3 have been approved for placement on the November board meeting agenda with the committee's recommendation for approval. Procurement. Under Section 7 of our agenda, I understand procurement had 6 items for consideration today. Mr. Donato, would you like to present these items to the committee?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Gomez, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So if it's the committee's pleasure, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take the first 2 items separately since they're both related to our StarCom 21 project, and items 3 through 6 are tollway invitations for bids. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. Thank you. So the first item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract for the replacement and upgrade of mobile and portable StarCom 21 radios that are used on our wireless communication system. The majority of these are replacement units, and we're also adding additional radios to cover I-390. Existing units are at the end of their life cycle and are no longer supported by the manufacturer. These radios are also used by roadway maintenance, our help trucks, snowplow trucks, District 15, and IT personnel. Essentially, every tollway vehicle in District 15 vehicle has one installed, and then we also have about 500 handheld units. Award is recommended to Motorola Solutions Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $9,461,056 for this one-time purchase. Okay, and the second item is related to the first item, as I said earlier, and it's also a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase radio programming tools, training, equipment, and equipment installation. Some of the items included in this request are antennas, mounting hardware, cabling, technician training, and radio signal equipment, just to name a few. Award is recommended to Motorola Solutions Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $947,874.48 for this one-time purchase. Again, I will say, even though Motorola is the vendor for both of these, there are 2 separate state contracts, and we are required by our procurement rules to utilize these master contracts once they're established. Any questions on the first 2?
No, thank you for explaining that, John, and I had a little sidebar on that about didn't realize Motorola was still in that type of business.
Very much so.
Yeah, they own and operate the StarCom 21 network, too.
Okay.
Any questions? Ready to run into number 3 now.
Number 2. Any questions? Number. Was that?
That was 1 and 2.
That was the first 2 items.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the third item is an award of a tollway invitation for bids for job order contracting services. So we want to bring a team of contractors on board and task them with facility-based projects on an as-needed basis. This will be a huge efficiency gain for the tollway. As you know, since the current state procurement process can take up to 9 months to complete. Each of the awarded vendors has committed to the 25% BEP goal and 3% veterans goal. Award is recommended to FHA.